I'll call this land board meeting to order. Join us by telephone are the Attorney General, Secretary of State as well. I'm sure everyone's had the opportunity to take a look at the minutes. Is there a motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Let's go to the first action item.
The first action item is an acquisition by Fish, Wildlife, and Parks for the Wall Creek Wildlife Management Area Edition in Madison County. It's 631 acres and approximately 20 miles south of that. So there is a department staff there.
Good morning, Governor, members of the land board. My name is Darlene Edge, Lane's Program Manager for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. As John said, it's a 631-acre acquisition on our 7,000-acre Madison Wall Creek Wildlife Management Area. And this acquisition would increase the size of the game range about 10%. The purpose of the acquisition, obviously, is to expand the game range. Additional habitat, it's a well-used game range. We have winter about 2,000 elk there. And the other issue is to try to keep the elk on the game range to prevent game damage and increase tolerance by the landowners for the critters. Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation purchases property at the end of 2014 for $1.1 million and has held it for us and has taken the risk that this would go through all the approval process. We've had an appraisal completed on it. We will purchase the property from RMEF for $1,041,000. I want to point out that House Bill 403 precludes us from purchasing with Habitat Montana. This particular project has been in the works for a couple years, and there was an exception put into that House Bill where we could continue those negotiations. So Habitat Montana, and then we'll be using Pittman Robertson money, so $1,041,000. There was an EA put out for public comment from September 15th to October 15th. Public meeting was held in Ennis. We had six comments, and all were supportive. And there's a member from RMEF that would like to speak as well.
Thank you, Darlene. Public comment, please.
Governor, good morning, and land board. Mike Mueller with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Just a couple quick comments. We appreciate your support for this project, obviously. I don't need to repeat the benefits. They speak for themselves. I would like to say that the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation will continue to demonstrate that using Habitat Montana and Pittman Robertson funds for these kind of projects is what it's all about. That's why they're there. And we support that, and we're glad that these are being used here. We're glad this is in the works so we can finish it. And this project is really interesting because it's like many of the opportunities that we have in our great state here on habitat and open space and access. If we would have moved on this project back, I think, in 2000, 2001, we would have bought it for half the price. We didn't get it for whatever reason. But then it went to another landowner. They built a beautiful home on the property, $500,000 house, and other structures and those kind of things on the property. So then when we came in and bought it, you can see how these properties change ownership. They become more and more challenging to conserve all the time. But we did it, and there was a beautiful home and buildings built on the border of one of our more premier wildlife management areas, the Wall Creek Wildlife Management Areas. There's a lot of talk about protecting the border today. Well, the Elk Foundation protected the northern border of the Wall Creek Wildlife Management Area. We moved off a $500,000 house. And so a lot of times you hear that subdivision and residential development, those things are irreversible. But not when it comes to partnerships like the state of Montana, great staff like Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and the commitment of the Elk Foundation to get these things done. We can do these kind of things when it's good for the state and the habitat and the sportsmen. And the sportsmen and the members, I feel, when we see across the state, support these kind of things and these kind of projects, right? With that, I'll let it go, but I would like to share with you a blog that is going viral across the country. It shows the Elk Foundation moving a house and restoring elk habitat off the boundary of our wildlife management area. Can I approach and just leave this with you?
Yeah.
Also, I wish you all the best.
So thank you very much. We appreciate your support. And we'd also like to thank DAR and all the staff of the great Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Agency here in this state. They made these kind of things happen. And I think somebody commented that that's the largest recreational vehicle they've ever seen in Montana. On wheels. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
We're just glad the house was able to be moved, and it took a special individual to help us with that, because they moved it 20 miles down the road to another subdivision where disturbance already occurred. So we were able to do some real good there. Thank you, Governor and Land Board.
Thank you, Mike. Other public comment? Any other public comment? Is there a motion?
I'll move the button 15-1.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Yeah, great project. Just waiting to see the balloons licking up. So just to clarify, though, the motion still is contingent upon FWP's approval?
No.
Oh, FWP has...
I'm sorry, Governor, I should have included that. Our Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Commission approved this acquisition last Thursday.
Okay, great. Then all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. Let's go to the next action item, timber sale.
We have one timber sale today. Item two is the Taborza 2 timber sale in Mineral County, Common Schools, estimated revenue $110,700. This is approximately 13 miles west of St. Regis. It includes three harvest units of 208 treated acres, 1.7 million board feet. It's a seed tree cut. We do plan to construct 2 miles of new roads. Working with the Forest Service, we have a temporary access. We're seeking to share access to these sections. We recommend the sale of the Taborza 2 timber.
Is there any public comment on the Taborza 2 timber sale? Any public comment? Is there a motion?
Governor, I would move approval motion of 115-2.
Is there a second? Oh, did
second.
Fantastic. Any discussion? Please.
So, Director, I was looking at the explanation again just in the last paragraph. It talked about scope and letters mailed out since September 2011, and the CSKT replied to that 2011 request. And so do those just stay on record as far as being notified if things come up during the actual cutting process?
Yeah, Governor, Superintendent, yes, the CSKT Cultural Resources folks keep in close touch with our timber sales. So, yeah, we keep those on records. We also, as you know, have a lot of training of our staff, as well as there are provisions in the contracts that we will let on this site, so that if the contractor finds any cultural sites or items of significance, or our staff, we can then take measures to protect that.
Any further questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion passes. Let's go to the next action item, land banking parcel 1153.
Item three is to set the minimum bid for sale in Nevada County. The benefit is Common Schools. Estimated revenue to the trust will be $636,000. This is a 635.5-acre parcel nominated for sale. It does not have public access. It's been managed for timber and grazing in the past. It will go into our land banking program to purchase more economic returning lands, hopefully with some additional public access. It does allow us to gain access to two other parcels of state trust lands with the sale so that we can manage those into the future. We recommend the board adopt the department's setting a minimum bid for sale.
Is there any public comment? Is there a motion? Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Let's go to the next action item. Is there reason not to take all these together?
Governor, I would suggest probably from now on starting to package these because we're going to get a number of these cabin site sales coming through. So A, B, and C are all similar, just different lakes.
Great.
A is in Beaver Lake. B are sales along Echo Lake. And C is our sales along Rogers Lake. The sales along Beaver Lake are Flathead County. Estimated revenue is $940,000 for the trust. On page 19 of the agenda, you can see the appraised value of the land as well as the improvement. In this sale, three parcels were nominated by the department, so there are no values for the improvements. In the next sale, item B, this is again in Flathead County, beneficiary Montana Tech, estimated $2.3 million. This is on Echo Lake. As you can see on page 22 of the agenda, the estimated appraisal for land values as well as the value of the improvements, one being nominated from the department. And finally, the collection is in C in Flathead County, Montana Tech, estimated $530,000 to the trust revenues. Two of these were nominated by DNRC, one has a current by C. And you can see the values of those on page 25. We recommend that the land board set the minimum bid for cabin sites at the appraised values and the maximum values of compensation for the improvements shown.
Thanks, Director. Is there any public comment?
Mr. Governor, members of the land board, my name is Randy Knowles from Great Falls, Montana. Last month, we had a testimony here by people that own or rent cabin sites, and I've had a lot of time to think about their comments. And these parcels are a good example of their comments. And so the analogy I'll use is Park City, Utah. My daughter works there, and a three-bedroom condo at Park City rents for 7 days for $43,000. Why don't the condos at Big Sky rent for $43,000 a week? Why don't the condos at Whitefish rent for $43,000 a week? It's people's preferences, it's the amenities, there's a whole bunch of reasons. But the bottom line is they're all condos. They're all three bedrooms, they probably all have the same amenities inside. Maybe not the same services on the outside, and yet they rent for all kinds of different prices. And that's what we're going to see happening with these lots. So we have lots here where a person has raised their hand and said, I will pay $140,000 an acre for it. But right next door is a vacant lot. How long has that lot been there? Exactly the same length of time as the one that's being sold. So barring that the vacant lot is covered with quicksand or a marsh or something, it's just a good example of we are not going to get, or the beneficiaries are silly to think that they are going to get $140,000 for every one of these lots. Because that's how auctions work. And that's what we have here is an auction of sorts. We have a whole bunch of lots for sale, and some people are willing to pay $140,000 an acre, and some are only willing to pay $5,000 an acre. In Mr. Cunniff's case, and what they tried to demonstrate with their charts is the amount of land or lots for sale that aren't moving. And I have looked at a few of them, and some of them have been on the market for years. And in Mr. Cunniff's case, his strategy is he is going to continue to pay his lease payments until it's no longer economically viable for him, and then he will abandon the property. So you will get his house, and he'll just walk away from it. Because what's happening is as we revalue the price of the lots, the rent goes up and up. So what the market's doing is the price of Mr. Cunniff's home goes down and down and down and down. until pretty soon you pay $400,000 for a lot and you get a free house. It's what's happening. So these parcels are a real good example of how economics works. You know, if there were 20 Hope Diamonds, they are not all going to sell for $500 million. One will, but others will sell for some lower price. So that's my comment, and I think the trust beneficiary needs to understand that we can, and I think I've heard other comments about parcels that have been on for sale for a long time, that juvenile or that boot camp up at Cedar Lake has been on the market for a long time, and we can't seem to find a buyer. It's just across the road from the lake. So depending on what the goals are of the beneficiaries, you know, and the one thing is they don't have to pay taxes. If they had to pay property taxes, I think that they would realize how the economics works on the sale of these properties. But the travesty is we take good Montanans like Mr. Kunoff and his neighbors, who have a long family tradition of using that property and some great memories, and we are gradually forcing them out, hoping that someone with a whole pocket full of money will come along and replace them. And in Montana, that's a little bit naive at this time.
Sir, another public comment. Is there a motion?
I move 1115-4 A, B, and C.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Let's go to the next action item.
Item 7 is the implementation of Montana Sage Grouse Conservation Strategy.
What about item 5?
Oh, did I skip 5?
Thanks.
Oh, Beaver Lake, find us there. Yes, item 5, sale cabin in Flathead Lake, sale parcel number 763, value is $176,000. This is the final sale approval for this parcel in Flathead County on Beaver Lake. Recommend approval.
Jay, public comment.
What I would like to see, again, my name is Randy Knowles from Great Falls, and Mr. Chairman, members of the panel. What I'd like to see on the maps is the parcel number and the lot number, so that it's easy to do cross-referencing.
Is there any additional public comment? Is there a motion? Any discussion? All? Please.
I'll turn it over to the administrator, Thomas.
Before Sean says anything, I'd like to note that they are in the playoffs. And they're going to do great. They're going to move forward. They're going to win it all.
Governor, Auditor Lindeen, for the record, Sean Thomas, Administrator for the Trust Land Management Division of the DNRC. So Montana Tech was granted some lands and statehood through their own individual land grant. And by the time that people got around to selecting Tech lands, it was in the in-lieu process sort of realm, where a lot of other lands had already been either homesteaded or otherwise set aside as part of the National Forest System Reserve. And so we picked in-lieu selections from the public domain. And I guess somebody with some pretty good foresight picked a lot of lakefront property in Flathead County. Tech has quite a bit of this type of property amongst other types of land around the state.
Any additional questions or comments? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Now we go to item 7.
Item 7 is the adoption of the trust lands to implement the executive order on sage grouse. There's currently 915,603 surface areas, acres contained in sage grouse core and connectivity areas, with an additional 1.6 million acres of general habitat. governor's executive order included recommendations on guidance on how programs within the DNRC Trust Lands Management Division manage activities in Sagegrass Corps, Conic Compete General Habitats. It also directs DNRC to bring conservation strategies, which are the subject of the following agenda item. We recommend that the landlord adopt the strategy outlined in the governor's executive order of October 12, 2015, to be applied to the management of trust lands within the sagegrass habitat while directing DNRC to seek grants and credits for the benefit of any affected trust beneficiaries pursuant to unanimously approved motion authorizing DNRC to seek those grants at the last October land board meeting.
Is there any public comment? Is there a motion? Is there a second? Any discussion?
Governor, if I may.
Please.
First of all, I want to thank you and your staff and all those who worked on the
Absolutely, thank you. Was there a second? No, I mean, it's at first. General? Out the microphone, he was out.
Is
Secretary McCullough, are you there? Houston? We have a problem.
Well, Governor, while we're taking the break, the Attorney General is not here. The staff is here in the Park West. The Attorney General staff did a really good job of review and came and worked with us on the final recommendation language. So, very much
appreciate it. Okay. Can't tell him to.
No.
If you are calling for service on your current policy or to file a claim,
Something went wrong with the overall phone, but I've got you and Attorney General on the deal, so. Oh, good. Let me try pushing the right button. Hopefully, we'll have you open. Attorney General and Secretary McCullough, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Great. You were just saying nice things about me, Tim. And then it all fell apart, so you can go back to wherever you were.
I finally realized that you weren't hearing me when the camera focused on Director Tubbs and the sound guy was talking over the top of me. I could tell I didn't understand what he was saying. So, yeah, first of all, I did mention, I appreciated your lead governor and those that worked on the plan, and I don't know where I got cut off, but I wanted to acknowledge and appreciate the modification that the NRC staff made, authorizing directing or using grants and credits for the benefit of the trust beneficiaries affected by the implementation of the Stage Grounds plan. So it's my understanding and intention, voting for the item, that the department will ensure full compensation is paid to the trust in any case implementation of the actions affects the value of trust lands. I also want to note for the record that the adoption of the Sage Grouse strategy, in my opinion, is a temporary measure that ought to be reevaluated periodically by staff with the intent that the landlord can and should withdraw the strategy when it is demonstrated that the species has recovered sufficiently to warrant withdrawal. And then lastly, it's my understanding and intent that the landlord's adoption of the Sage Grouse strategy does not create any third-party rights, claims, or cause of action that would prohibit state land from being leased, sold, or otherwise utilized for any legal purpose, including access to and from any other private or public land. So with those understanding, it's my intention to vote for this action item tonight, but thank you.
Thanks, General. Are there other questions or comments?
I appreciated the picture of the cell phone underneath the microphone. That would be me in that cell phone.
You two have never looked better. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Let's go to the next action item, which is item 8.
Item 8 is the two implementation strategies that we're bringing forward to the board concerning sage-grouse habitat. These are land-breaking, sage-grouse eradication, and grazing management. We are recommending that the conservation strategy be adopted to prevent the breaking of new of native sage-grouse and rangeland. It's rare to occur in these days. It's for a number of reasons discouraged, but every once in a while, one, two, three parcels a year might come forward and ask that they break their land. We provided some very small exclusions to the prohibition, and that would be an example might be putting in a center pivot where a corner would require removal of sagebrush or native range. We don't see this as something that's frequent, but we do see it as important in terms of implementation of the sagebrush executive order. The grants that we are seeking would offset any cost associated with that. The next is the grazing evaluation criteria corrective action plans. We believe that our lessees in large order do an excellent job with their grazing on state trust lands. These are additional protections that we're adding to the types of information that our staff collects in the field when we go out and inspect that are specifically to address sage grouse habitat. Again, again, I think in large majority of cases, these provisions would not come into force because the livestock owner is already actively managing with good practices. It does give us some tools if we do find problems out in the field. As a result, we recommend that the landlord adopt the prohibition of native range breaking and sage-grouse eradication subject to the waiver and conditions as outlined above. We also recommend that the adoption of evaluation criteria and corrective action plan for grazing leases in the core and connectivity areas while directing DNRC to seek grants and credits as compensation to the trust for protective measures listed above, pursuant to the unanimously approved motion authorizing DNRC to seek those grants and credits above the last month's plan board.
Thanks, Director. Is there any public comment?
Good morning, Governor, members of the Land Board. For the record, my name is Errol Rice, spelled E-R-R-O-L-R-I-C-E. I'm the Executive Vice President of the Montana Stock Growers Association. My comments will briefly focus on the sage-grouse eradication and grazing evaluation criteria. Regarding sage-grouse eradication, DNRC has proposed to allow sage-grouse treatments that maintains a canopy cover at or above 30% total canopy cover within the treated acres, and they will not be considered a disturbance. MSGA would like to recommend or clarify that the Montana Sage-Grouse Oversight Team should have the ability to approve projects that may treat below the 30% canopy cover with the following stipulations. One, site-specific areas are considered. Two, project is backed by scientific methods. Three, improved sage-grouse habitat. Any criteria should have the flexibility to implement projects that are well thought out and make sense. On the grazing evaluation criteria, it is important to reference it in the executive order, which states, proper livestock management is a critical tool for providing and maintaining high-quality sage-grouse habitat. MSGA certainly agrees with this statement, and we are committed to work with DNRC as they establish additional grazing lease evaluation criteria. As DNRC also more fully develops their habitat assessment evaluation, MSGA wants to ensure this assessment coincides with the site potential for that particular parcel of land and takes into consideration the existing management practices of the lessee on surrounding non-state lands. Again, Governor, I'd like to thank you, the Land Board, for this opportunity to provide some thoughts on this very important issue. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Rice. Any additional public comment? Is there a motion? Discussion? Kevin, maybe, hold on a second, Jones. Kevin, could you address Mr. Rice's concern? Is the flexibility sufficient within the language?
Good morning, Governor, members of the board. Kevin Chappell with the Ag and Grazing Bureau. The reason we made the recommendation we did is specifically from the original executive order that the governor put out. And it talks about the 30%. It also talks about if in cases that the sagebrush canopy cover is less than 30%, that they can consider that. So I think the flexibility is there for the inspector to do that.
Great, thank you. Additional questions or comments?
Governor, if I may?
Sure.
Just wanted to reiterate the points I made on the last action item that certainly we need to make sure that we get full compensation according to our constitutional obligation. Secondly, I believe these are temporary measures that we would be adopting, and that the staff would reconsider these periodically depending on recovery of the species. And then third as well, just want to reiterate that it's my understanding this would not create any third-party rights, claims, or causes of action. And with those understandings, I would intend to vote for this.
Any additional questions or comments from members of the board?
Governor, I'd just make one comment. With our Montana Sage-Grouse Oversight Team, we fully expect to be adaptive and change our management strategies over time, as has been discussed both in the public comment as well as General Fox on the phone. So, as Wyoming has done, as we move forward and mature, this board will see additional measures or modifications.
And indeed, it's fairly difficult for us as a land board to bind future land boards with their activities to be as well.
Any additional questions or comments? All those in favor, first up, before I do that, thanks. trust Lands Management Bureau and Kevin Chapman in particular for pulling this together. The criteria really are based on scientific information as we know it. Going into the future, too, will be tailored to the needs of the field. So thank you for that work. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Next action item.
The following action item 9 is a collection of 8 easements and then 2 cost shares. Take them all at once. We have 8 easements across state trust lands, Lower Yellowstone Rural Electric, One Oak, Three Rivers, Historic Private Access, and Montana Department of Transportation are all seeking easements across state lands. Item B is a cost share agreement with the U.S. Forest Service for access to parcels near and around Lake Placid in Missoula County. This gains us access to the map, shows the lands that we are easing Forest Service roads over. We gain access to a tremendous amount of land and property that we manage. Very beneficial agreements here. Shows the benefits of the cost share program to the state of Montana. The second one, also with the U.S. Forest Service, is in Sanders County, the lower ACM, benefiting parcels that are the trusts of the common schools and public buildings. This gains access to a major haul road, giving us greater flexibility to manage our forests in Sanders County. We recommend an approval of all 3 items.
Is there any public comment?
Mr. Governor, members of the Commission, my name is Randy Knowles. I mentioned a couple months ago a book I read called The Frackers, and if you read that, I'm pretty sure that you will see that everything in that book is coming true. One of the predictions in that book, it wasn't a prediction, it was just a direction that one particular natural gas developer had in mind was to convert every coal-fired generating unit in America to natural gas. And we are seeing that happen right before our eyes. Love reading books where we can actually see history at work. So I think here what we need is a strategic plan. We need a strategic plan to figure out how to get all that natural gas out of the Bakken down to Colstrip so that we can do that conversion, because it does not matter how clean our coal is. At the moment, the buyers of our electricity don't want coal-fired electricity, no matter how clean it is. And since we can't consume it all, we need to go with the flow. And so on that note, part of that strategic plan needs to be develop a system of credits so that people that are developing these pipelines can be encouraged to develop more pipelines to get that gas to where it's going to ultimately need to be. And so this is just a really good example of where we need to stop focusing on what's going on today and try to figure out what's going on 20 years from now. Like Mr. Gretzky, the hockey player, said when he was asked why he was a great hockey player, he said, because I went where the puck was going, not where the puck was.
Are there other public comments? All those in favor say aye. All right.
Aye.
Aye.
We don't have a motion. Sorry, I was jumping ahead.
Governor, I move 1115 or 5-9A.
A, B, and C. I think we were taking it right.
A, B, and C.
Great. And the Secretary seconds it. Any further discussion? Or any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Is there any public comment?
I have.
On items?
I have something
else.
I do have a public comment on other items.
You're a board member. You got it. Meaning, so we're done with the official agenda. Please, Commissioner Lindeen.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up an item that came up last week. About a week ago, I think we all saw in the press that, what is it, Weyerhaeuser is the name of
Weyerhaeuser.
Weyerhaeuser, is that how you pronounce it? And Plum Creek announced a potential merger, and I think it's interesting to note that if these two companies actually do merge, there'll be a combination of, they'll be the largest private landowner in the U.S., owning 13.6 million acres of land. Obviously, Plum Creek has 6.6 million of those acres, and I think the company has 7 million. And Plum Creek, as you know, 770,000 acres in Montana, mostly up in the northwest. And fortunately, we've always had Plum Creek as a good neighbor when it comes to allowing public access to its lands in Montana. I think one of the concerns I have, and I'm sure everybody up here and on the phone shares that concern, is the fact that in 2012, this other company began implementation of a permit and lease system to access its lands, and that system has been expanded over the years to apply to land acquisitions. Certainly, there's, I think, some concern that that could happen here in Montana as well, and that Montanans could actually be charged to access public lands. So what I'd really like to do is ask if we could request DNRC and FWP to examine access on Westerhauser?
Weyerhauser?
Old lands and Plum Creek lands in Montana, put an informational item on our next month's agenda, and really also determine how much state land we would lose access to should Weyerhauser close access to Plum Creek lands. That's my request.
Yeah, I mean, in some respects, at least from my perspective, we can have this discussion. Next month might be a little soon. I think it's putting the cart in front of the horse. I've already had discussions with Rick Hawley, the current CEO of Plum Creek, and have scheduled to have conversations with the Weyerhauser folks as well. I mean, so the challenge is, in some respects, the transaction is scheduled to close, I think, second quarter next year. So I guess surveying what they're doing in other states, when in Montana's access, our access history, and what we have is substantially different than other states.
Well, I think it would be important to have a briefing on what that situation looks like then, so that we all have a clear understanding.
Sure, we'll see what we can do from a...
Governor, Commissioner Lindeen, I guess I would just offer up, I've been following this really closely. I started my career with Plum Creek, so I'm really familiar with the area. And I would just make a couple of points that I think we can look into this and provide whatever the board would like us to. But there are a couple of things that you may not know that might be relevant to your comment. Number one, in Washington and Oregon, I have some colleagues and friends that work over there, and where Weyerhauser has implemented a pay-to-access recreational use policy for the public, they have, in most cases, or at least the cases that I've read about, maintained the access to existing public land that were in holdings within their ownership. So they were continuing to not lock out the public from public lands within the company lands. That's, I guess, one point that they've done. I don't think they probably have to. Two, our Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Agency has really had a tremendous vision for this potentiality, I think, going back probably over 10 years. I think back in maybe as early as the early 2000s, and DFWP certainly could shed some light here. I think Darlene's gone now, but they put conservation easements in place that I think guarantee the public to have access on a lot of that Plum Creek land and the Thompson Fisher, hundreds of thousands of acres, I'm quite certain. So that would be an interesting analysis that they could provide if we take a look at this again in the future. So there are a number of things that I think that we were ahead of the curve on with the eventual outcome of a different owner of those lands, and they have a different interest.
Appreciate that additional information.
So, other public comment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the land board, my name is Randy Knowles. So, we do have another ace in the hole with Weyerhauser. That's the Board of Investments. I've got a couple of things. One is I've been out hunting, and I've noticed that none of the state land is marked. So I'm going to make the request that state land that borders or provides access on a
county road or a state road have a little sign on a fence post that says state land, so that we don't have to guess if we're on state land. U.S. Fish Wildlife does it. There's other big landowners that put up their signs, and I think it would help our sportsmen. I have a couple items that were in the news. One comes out of Wyoming. And so the only sectors with an increase in Wyoming were leisure, hospitality, transportation, utilities, and information. The bright spot in Wyoming's economy was Grand Teton Yellowstone National Park visitations were up 12% for the state's second largest industry, tourism. So Montana tourism is number three, Wyoming is number two, and we need to do things because that appears to be a trend in the future. Then coming out of Colorado, studies in Colorado have found that every dollar invested in land acquisition or improvement generates a $4 return in economies. And with Montana's tax system being primarily a property tax economy.
Not true, but go on.
Okay. Well, no sales tax, so that's the important one. It's really important to do things to create economic development. And then I think the big news for me this last 30 days has come out of Utah. I did not do the research, but it appears Utah is not blessed as much public land as Montana is. It says here, we know there are economic benefits to having state parks in rural counties. Park visitation shot up to 4.5 million people in 2015, which is an 11% boost. They are proposing to incorporate surrounding Bureau of Land Management lands into their state parks to add campgrounds, day-use amenities, hogans, which are yurts, for overnight rental, bike, ATV trails, and American Indian Heart Markets. Public lands are in dire need of trailheads, restrooms, parking lots, and other improvements to accommodate growing hordes of outdoor recreationalists. But the big news is they're getting ready to raise $39 million to add 300 boat slips to Bear Lake Marina. And as I read that, I thought, I wonder if we could raise $39 million to add 300 camping spots to the NRC land. That's a pretty aggressive, but I think it emphasizes the importance of recreation with our economies on into the future.
Thank you. Is there additional public comment? Is there a motion to adjourn? Oh, Mike? Are you going to tell us where the elk are?
If I remember correctly, Governor, you learned how to elk bugle at our dedication. You should know where they are by now. Governor and Land Board, I appreciate Commissioner Lindeen bringing up the Weyerhaeuser Plum Creek coming merger. I would just offer the Elk Foundation's resources to that, since don't need to tell you, but public access is so important in the state. You know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I forget, back when Potlatch, I believe, in Idaho, started a permit system there where they changed open public access to a permit system, the Elk Foundation convened a summit there with many timber companies and conservation leaders and, you know, sportsmen around the country, and we invited everybody in to talk about this. And I will just leave you this. What was surprising is many of these industrial timber companies, it's normal business operating practices in other parts of the country to do the permitting, to lease out their lands for hunting and all those kinds of things. And there wasn't a lot that came out of the meeting other than just that it's normal business practices, but we really would hate to see that privilege that we have here go away. So I would offer our resources. There's a lot of answers. One thing that comes to mind, well, I'd hate to see it come to this. I'd rather see the relationship that we have now with the timber companies continue, because it's outstanding and it's such a privilege, as I said. But, you know, purchasing access rights and those kind of things from timber companies is an option. However, I would point out, we had these discussions like this a few weeks ago. The dedicated funding for purchasing access in Montana, it doesn't seem to be there. We know that we can, you know, the Habitat Montana can protect habitat, and there can be an access component to that. But dedicated funding to access, people to manage this public access, and all those kind of things are interesting questions and issues to get into. But bottom line is, we'd offer our resources and help in any way we could. And I know you're very interested in this, Governor. We appreciate your support and all of that. So let us know if we can help. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Is there a motion to adjourn? Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Hey.